Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our morning assembly, our Sunday morning assembly at the Franklin Church of Christ. To all of our members, we miss you, we love you, and we say welcome to you, and to all of our many friends who have started to join us on this Sunday morning broadcast, who are joining us on our website, who are joining us on the YouTube channel. We welcome you, and we hope you will continue to do so. We love you, and we care about you. We thank you for being a part of this gathering today. It is the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is the very best day. It's the day that we look forward to. And so this morning, as we pray together, sing together, read from the Word, study together, commune together, think about how good God has been to all of us. God is good all the time. We're so glad that you're a part of this gathering this morning. God bless you for joining us.
This morning by partaking of these emblems. I'd like to read this morning from Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 15. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine at the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe that man who betrays him." Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessings of this day. And we thank you, Father, that we can remember the sacrifice that was made for us. And we ask that you bless this loaf, which represents your body. And may we partake of it this morning in a manner that is worthy. For we ask this in the name of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, the Lord Jesus. On the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Again, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us today. We thank you for the sacrifice that was made for us. And now, Father, as we partake of this fruit of the vine, we ask blessings from it. In the name of Christ. Now I want to give thanks for the offering, but before that, I'd like to read from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. David had asked the people for gifts for the building of the temple, and man, did they give. They gave, and they continued to give generously. And that's when David wrote these words: "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power, to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you our thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for loving us. You've been so good to us. Father, we thank you for the blessings of the day. And Father, we pray that this offering that we give to you, that we'll give from a cheerful heart. And may these monies, Father, be used for the furtherance of your kingdom. For we ask this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for giving us another day to rise up and serve you, dear Father. Dear Father, as we gather here at the church building, it is a little awkward, but we know our brothers and sisters in Christ are at home, studying and worshiping, singing, partaking of the communion, and doing everything that they can to uplift your name, like we all need to be doing on this first day of the week. We're so grateful that we are able to gather together through technology, and that one day we'll be able to come back together as an entire church body within these walls here at 700 South Main Street. We're so thankful just for everything that you have done for us, dear Father. Dear Father, we know that your hand is upon all this, and that you will help us get through this. Help us get through this trying time that we're going through. Help us get through this trying time our nation is going through. And dear Father, as we have thought about all this week, and especially myself have thought about, this is a time that we've probably grown a little closer to you and making sure that you are put first. Maybe it's a time that we've grown a little bit closer to our families and our friends and other things that get us back to where we need to be. And that is praising you and praising your name and making sure we put you and your son first. Dear Father, let us continue to stay away from the distractions. Stay away from the things that take us away from you. And as we move forward, dear Father, hopefully we can see that. We want to pray for those on our prayer list, as we've shown at the beginning. Be with them in their recovery, and we pray that they are doing well and that you are guiding them and guiding the physicians and nurses, because you are the great physician, dear Father, and you can put your healing hand upon them and restore them to a state of health to get back home to their families. Dear Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ the world over, that they're unable to maybe meet as well at their buildings with their families and their church families. But dear Father, just be with them during this time to continue to minister to those in their church body and in the community. And dear Father, as us, as we can minister outside of these walls, let us all do that, dear Father. Let us make sure that we're calling upon those that need to be called, checking on those that need to be checked upon, and just ministering to one another the best that we can during this time that we've been instructed to do, to social distance or to stay at home. But we can minister in so many different ways. Again, dear Father, we thank you for this avenue of prayer. We thank you for this avenue of worship today, that we are able to still meet with our church family and to praise your name through all that we do. Dear Father, again, be with us. Be with us during this time. We are so thankful for your son. And it's his name we pray. Amen.
The reading this morning will be from the book of Psalms, chapter 46. Again, that is Psalms, chapter 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Well, good morning, everyone. Let's make sure we're on here. Okay. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Franklin Church, and good morning, friends who have joined us as well. I am so glad we can all be together here on this Lord's Day morning. At the request of leadership here at the Franklin Church, we are foregoing our next installment in our current Sunday morning preaching series that is entitled The Gospel, in order to devote our thoughts and our time to the current circumstances affecting all of our lives, and really the lives of people all over the globe. We all are experiencing something that none of us has ever experienced before. And this past week, it has really come close to home as some of our own have tested positive for COVID-19. Now, I'm happy to tell you this morning that those affected are getting better. We're getting good reports and good news, and we are asking you to be in constant prayer on their behalf. So the question of the hour is, what do I need to say and what do we need to hear at this very important time in all of our lives? I've thought a lot about that question. I've thought a lot about it, and my mind has come up with more answers than we would ever have time for this morning. So two matters, two things, two very important lessons that I would like for you to just think about as you go through the course of this upcoming week. And the first is all about tomorrow, about what is going to happen tomorrow, and just how we need to think about tomorrow and how we need to approach tomorrow. So here is what I can tell you, what Jim can tell you, in full assurance that I know about tomorrow. Are you ready? Nothing. Not a blessed thing. I can't even promise you that there will be another tomorrow. And if there is, it will be okay. God has it in control. God has it all firmly in His own hand. And if there is not another tomorrow, if we all should go home to be with the Lord forever, that's even better. God has it in control. God has it all firmly in His own hand. So I'm thinking just now about a text, a particular text that I think I've probably read 1,000 times before. It's in the book of James. If you have your Bible, I would encourage you to be turning there. The book of James, chapter 4. It's a very familiar text. As a matter of fact, you could probably quote it. James, chapter 4. And James says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. That sounds familiar. Don't you think? We have all sorts of plans. We have all kinds of tomorrows all laid out. And James just gives us a sobering reminder that it is not under our control. I think I have learned over the course of these past 2 weeks that my very best laid plans can be sidetracked pretty easily by something I don't really understand, by something that I can't even see. Now, James is not challenging us. James is not rebuking us for making wise plans for the future. So don't misinterpret here. But he is making clear the sheer foolishness of a heart that lives and makes its plans apart from a constant awareness of the presence and the hand of God. I've thought a lot about God during these past couple of weeks, and I would bet that you have as well. Charles Spurgeon writes, there are two great certainties about the things that shall come to pass. One is that God knows. The other is that we do not. Right now, our children and our grandchildren are not in school. And what a change, what a drastic and dramatic change that has been for so many people. Do you realize there are tens of thousands of parents all over this country who are finding out, who are learning for the first time, that the problem, the real problem, is not the teacher? Isn't that amazing? And right now, so many people can't go to their jobs, cannot care for their aged loved ones, cannot do all of the things that we just thought that life demanded. You can't go to the dentist. You can't go to the restaurant, dining room, to a community or sporting activity. I was thinking this week, I can't go to the barber. I need to go to the barber and get a haircut. Pretty soon we are going to find out what everyone's true hair color really is. And James writes to people not so different from all of us. He writes to people who just live their lives every single day. They went about their business. They made their plans. They did life thinking that everything was at their discretion, was in their hand, was under their control, was at their disposal. And in the midst of all of their planning, in context, it does not appear that God was anywhere in it. So then he says, if you're looking at your text, verse 14 of chapter 4, why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. And I just have to ask you, isn't that a self-evident truth that all of us are coming to learn? An invisible virus that one day was not present, was not on our radar anywhere. And the next day, it dramatically turned our lives on their head and it altered the way that we live. James just wanted his readers then, and by extension, he wants all of his readers now to consider how very fragile is this fleshly human life that we are all now living. Listen to what he says. What is your life, he asked. And the question is rhetorical in nature because James is going to come immediately with his answer. You are, I'll tell you what you are. You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And then he adds, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and we will do this or do that. I think Jim probably needed that reminder. I think our country probably needed that reminder. I think the world needed it. I think even the church needed to revisit and be reminded that none of us lives or moves or has our being independent of God. So, the first matter of importance I want to challenge you to think hard about this week has to do with tomorrow. We don't know, folks. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We have hopes, and we hope that as God grants us a few more tomorrows, that they will just increasingly get better and better and better. We are praying earnestly that this sickness and death will subside, that people will soon be able to get back to work, and that all of us very soon will be able to breathe a collective sigh of relief. That's what we want. God knows that. He already knows that. So friends, let's change for the better. Let's change the way we think about tomorrow. Let's use this experience to learn something. Let's use it to teach us something valuable. And let's use it to teach us that the uncertainty of this life we live in a fleshly, failing human body, that it's not cause for fear and it's not cause for inaction, but it is the reason for our total and complete dependence upon God. Then there's a second thing I want you to think about this week, a second matter of importance, a second lesson, as it were, that I hope as you go about your altered routine throughout the course of this week, that you will have ever present on your mind. And that is all about God's great love for you. So the place that I am just absolutely compelled to go just now is Romans chapter 8. Would you look at Romans 8 for a moment in your Bible? Romans chapter 8. And just review that whole chapter, and you're going to find that that entire treatise from Paul is all about no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. It's about the law of the Spirit setting us free, liberating us from the law of sin and death. And you read that chapter in Romans 8, and it will just lift you up. It will remind you, as Paul says, that God's people are more than conquerors. And Paul asked those great questions. Just look at the text and see if you can find some of those questions. If God is for us, Paul says, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God gave up Jesus for us, will God not also along with Jesus graciously give us all things? Who will bring a charge? Who will bring any charge against those God Himself has chosen? God is the one who justifies. So who is he that condemns? Don't you think those are just great, great questions? And as Paul winds up the chapter, as you get near the end of the chapter, as he winds up this great treatise, listen to what he says. Jesus Christ, who died, and more than that, who was raised to life, listen to what he says, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So then he offers a couple more important questions. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine, nakedness or danger, or sword? And one more time, Paul will answer his own question. Look at verse 37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced, Paul says, that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, that's tomorrow, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me just share that same text with you for a moment from the Message. With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing Himself to the worst by sending His own Son, is there anything else He wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the very presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There's no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. I am absolutely convinced that nothing, nothing living or dead, nothing angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Brothers and sisters, that is what really matters. That's it. Now, I believe, Jim believes, that our current circumstance, along with the fear and the uncertainty that it brings, I believe it will pass. I believe this too will pass. But even if it doesn't, we cannot be separated from the love of God that has been so personally made known to each and every one of us in His Son, Jesus Christ. And you see, therein is the peace that passes all understanding. There is a song that we sing sometimes in our assemblies. I love the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." You know it. "When peace like a river attendeth my way." And in that song, written by the way in 1873, 147 years ago, we sing words, we sing phrases about sorrows that come upon us like great billows, like great waves of the sea. We sing about our sins, not just part of them, but all of our sins being nailed to the cross. We sing about the trumpet resounding and the clouds being rolled back on the day that Jesus comes back to get us. And with every line, the words are repeated. "It is well, it is well, it is well with my soul." Now, this song, like most of the rest of the songs that we sing in church, has the first verse sung, and then the third verse sung, and then the last verse sung, while poor old verse number two just gets left out there, most of the time just gets skipped. But I'm going to tell you, verse two, at least to me, I think, in many ways, is the very best verse of the entire song. Listen carefully. "Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed His own blood for my soul." Brothers and sisters, when you know that, when you have come to terms with that, that in your helpless estate, and we all feel pretty helpless right now, Jesus Christ has come and shed His blood for our own souls. When you know that, when you come to terms with that, when you come to terms with Jesus Christ, then whatever it is, whatever life brings, you can truly say and you can truly sing, "It is well with my soul." As you go through this week, think differently about tomorrow. Think powerfully and think expectantly about the love that God the Father has for you, put on display, put on everlasting, eternal display in the gift of His Son Jesus, and let that shape your week. God bless you for joining us today. Let's pray just now as we close the lesson. Father, we thank You for loving us. And we thank You, Father, for knowing what we need even before we ask. Father, help us this week to think a little bit differently about tomorrow. And to understand, Father, that ultimately everything is in Your hand and that You are the one who has total and complete control. And Father, help that to bring a dependence upon You, a leaning upon You that sometimes we forget to have. And Father, as we go through this week and we hear news, sometimes encouraging and a lot of times discouraging, Father, help us to remember that no matter our lot, no matter what may come our way, that nothing shall ever be able to separate us from You, from the love that You have given to us and shown to us by the gift of Your Son. Father, thank You so much for blessing us. Thank You for giving us what we need and not what we deserve. I pray Your blessing on all these good people who've joined us today. And I pray in the name of Jesus.
Good morning. We appreciate you being here with us this morning. I just wanted to read one verse from Titus. Paul is telling him to remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. And we would encourage everyone in our congregation to do that. Please have a good week. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for this opportunity that we have to be together, if not here at the congregation, in spirit. We're grateful, Father, for those who are part of our congregation, and we wish every blessing on them. We pray that you would be with the sick in our congregation and those around us, Father. Be with the leaders of the world, the leaders of our community. And we pray, Father, that you might show us those things that we can do for others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.